town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
All right, welcome back to Common Folk.
Let's go, podcast for the people, by the people.
We are minus one today.
Well, someone's got to, you know, keep the shop up and running and product out the doors,
That's
right?
That's true. Somebody's got to work.
Yeah.
Morgan runs our production at Farm Focused, and it is the holiday season, and we are wide freaking open, man. lots of holiday orders coming in.
Yeah, this is all gas, right?
Is that what they say? 100%. 100%. I was just thinking as we were coming into that, listening to Birgit. We haven't talked about him for a while. Eric Birgit on the intro.
Yeah.
Country music star. If you're new to the podcast at all, or if you haven't heard us talk about him, Eric Birgit, ericburgett.com. Check him out. That intro music is actually one of his top songs.
Yeah.
But he allowed us to go ahead and use it. And then also he did that little voiceover there for us on the intro.
And, you know, that's not like the main chorus or whatever. So, like, when you are listening to that song and it comes up to that part, like, oh!
Yeah, yeah.
it always kind of hits you.
And it is a good song, man. I love it. Yeah. I've got it on my Spotify playlist. Check him out. Look up Eric Birgit. See what you think. He's a good dude. Farm kid from Illinois. Lives down in Nashville now.
Yeah.
So, anyway... what are we going to talk about? We were thinking,
man, there's a lot going on.
There's always so much going on. It's crazy. I know. I was thinking about these topics about, cause you know, we talk a lot about rural stuff and we talk about agriculture and just, you know, common folk, you mm-hmm. know, people, mm-hmm. what they're affected by and so on and so forth. And, there's a lot going on with farming right now in the Trump administration. And we thought, hey, let's talk about this a little bit. I'm sure even if you're not into farming, you're definitely hearing about this on the radio.
Yeah.
Or on TV, whatever, however you consume, or I guess on social media, whatever.
Yep.
There's this big bailout coming, supposedly. You know, Trump's going to give the farmers all this money. There's a bunch of talk about tariffs, you know, and how that's affected this and so on and so forth. Mm. So we thought, one, we got a couple things that we want to talk about in regards to this today. But one, let's talk about what we know. And kind of the common folk perspective on it. Because, again, a lot of people are hearing this and they're just thinking to themselves, what the hell's going on? You know, most people are probably thinking, oh, these farmers are just getting handed money again. Look at these guys. I see them driving around in brand new trucks and million-dollar tractors and, you know, on and on and on.
Well, just what you said there, bailout, that offended a lot of farmers.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to mm-hmm. bail out. They don't want to accept a handout.
Yep.
That's what they'll tell you.
Yep, yep. I was actually listening to a news story the other day. I think it was just yesterday. That the reporter was in South Dakota and was running around this small town trying to interview farmers and chat with them about this exact topic.
Are you saying there's a big town in South Dakota?
That's true.
I grew up on the border there, so
right,
we got to
right.
go back and forth in
yeah.
South Dakota.
Yeah. So anyway, number one, he had a really hard time getting anybody to talk.
Right, yes.
Which, you know, kind of plays back to... you know, the common folk, the 80%, we're the silent majority.
Yep.
Right? We've all got feelings about things and actions that we'll take, but we're not real loud about it. But anyway, a couple of the folks that they did get to talk to, of course, they were able to find people on both sides of the aisle.
Sure.
You know, and some folks that it, I don't think anybody, there wasn't anybody who was like, no, I'm not taking it. Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, they're all going to go ahead and accept it, which whatever, I would too.
Yeah.
But there was folks who were mad about why it was even happening, like what was causing it in the first place. So we talk a little bit about that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They're pinning all this on tariffs.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what. Let's chat about that a little bit, the tariff thing.
Well, so when you're talking tariffs, right out of the gate, oh, they're bad. Oh, they limit my markets. I'm losing a place to sell my soybeans by these tariffs. Okay, let's get rid of them, but it has to be a two-way street, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if tariffs are so bad, why does China have them imposed on us? Why does Argentina have them imposed on us? Why does Canada have some crazy tariffs and always has mm-hmm. on us, basically making it impossible for us to do some dairy, do some eggs. I don't know a lot, you know, I just know the surface, but I know some, you know, people in the field, they're like, yeah, we haven't been able to export to Canada for years, as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
So why does America have to be the, oh, you guys give it to us and we'll let you bend us over and we'll just play ball on your rules, even though we're the,
right.
we're the producer, we're right. the supplier, we're the, we should be the bully on the block.
But, yeah.
You know,
I think what you're saying is exactly the reason why the Trump administration, the main reason why they were putting a lot of these tariffs in place is because of that, to check, to put everything in check, to get the playing field leveled, right? There's no doubt that China, in regards to these tariffs.
You're saying it wrong. China.
Yeah. has decreased the amount of soybeans that they're purchasing. You know, we produce corn and soybeans, and a lot of them. So, you know, it's pretty logical to think, okay, if China is now purchasing half of what they were purchasing before, it seems like every year we're seeing record yields. So that means we're bringing in more and more crop every year.
Yep.
So we've brought in at least as much crop as we did last year, probably more, yet our buyers are buying half.
And wasn't that kind of already out there, like, oh my God, our markets might be limited. So why in the hell did you produce another record yield?
Right. I mean, it's you know, it's what's tough for me is, you know, I love farmers. I mean, my business is called Farm Focused.
Yes.
But they are running a business. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm running a business. When I get dealt hands that just kick me right in the gut, I have to adapt and overcome. I don't get the opportunity to be made whole by anybody, you know?
And that's where I think your, let's say, silent majority of the rest of the population, not farmers, that's where they have a tough time not, you know, getting kind of side-eyed looking at farmers, where it's like, okay, the writing was on the wall about tough times coming up, and you guys have been overproducing for years now, you know, and you're pissing them on about markets not being available or markets closing down due to tariffs. Then why do you keep doing that? Oh, because you're relying on a subsidy. You're relying on a bailout. But then you turn around and say, like, well, you don't want that subsidy. You don't want that bailout. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. It's not? Like, it's a tough, right. it's a tough bridge to gap.
Yeah.
And I grew up on a farm, and we're like everybody else, you know, like we just play the game.
Right. And so you're nailing it right there.
Our alfalfa is way overproduced. It grades out way too high for who we sell it to and what we sell it for. It is goddamn ridiculous, the inputs. You've been to our farm. We're not a major operation.
Yep.
But, I mean, I had a guy that is kind of a major player in alfalfa, and he's like, Jesus Christ, your alfalfa is immaculate. Who are you selling this to? Some cattle yards down our neighbors down the road.
Yeah. So I think you nailed it in the term. What you said was, we're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it goes back to. It's like, you remember like that old saying when they were like, hate the player, not the game, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
This is the opposite. Hate the game, not the player. Because the way that I see it, it's not necessarily these individual farmers' faults.
Yes.
Okay. This is the business that these guys are in. They're playing the game with the hands that they're getting dealt, and they're trying to figure out the best way to make a living.
Right.
The game is broken. The game is rigged. The game is a mess.
Right.
And this is what happens. You know, we start seeing this kind of thing with the fallout of it. I mean, like you talked about, it's always kind of a race to the bottom, right? I mean, we're just we're continuing to produce more and more and more crop, and behind that comes more and more and more expensive inputs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's companies out there who are trying to do a really good job of getting that in check. We've interviewed one of them, FBN.
Oh yeah,
they're doing a hell of a job of trying to fix that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the game. It's not the player. These guys are doing the only thing they can do to right. keep the stuff going. They have to, or mm-hmm. else they're gonna have to shut the thing down.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because just you by yourself, you feel powerless, and you kind mm-hmm. of are. Mm-hmm. You gotta get plugged into the system. So then you gotta, like what Farmer Business Network's doing, mm-hmm. you gotta kind of form a union. And a lot of the silent majority is like, fuck unions, when a lot of these things were drawn up and unions were brought into existence, they did so much good,
mm-hmm.
you know, raised wages, got things. And then,
For sure. Yeah. That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah,
I mean, how that thing got. Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying, like, you got to unite. But mm-hmm. then already my ears are perked up. Like, oh, yeah, we need a union.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's kind of opposite of what farmers want to be.
Well, and farmers have been.
They're independent.
They are, but they have been working with co-ops
mm-hmm.
since.
That's true.
As long as I can imagine.
That's true.
As long as I know, and that's kind of what that is, you know, that, or mm-hmm. that's what that was intended to be.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, so the bottom line is that these tariffs are causing China to purchase less. So now what we're seeing is all this crops coming in. These farmers are storing as much of it as they can because it's so the value of it's so cheap right now. So mm-hmm. they're storing it, hoping that you know the price will eventually go up. So now what we're seeing, and I was thinking about this when I was listening to the story this week, we potentially have these bailout dollars coming.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are going to sit on this crop for even longer.
Let's call it farmer's aid. I feel bad calling it bailout.
Is that what they're called? I looked something up earlier.
It's a farmer's aid package.
What are they saying online about it?
It depends what publication. Are you going to CNN? Then
right,
it's a bailout.
Exactly.
If you're going to Fox,
exactly,
it's farmer's aid.
Yeah. It says, let's see these on the quick Google search. Most of them say bailout, but it's like the New York Times and whatever. But anyway, did you have something?
No? I was just going to say Fox Business, their latest YouTube is Farmer's Aid.
There
package.
You go. Yep. So. All right. So Farmer's Aid so you've got that coming. and so these guys are more motivated to sit on their crop
mm-hmm.
And wait to see what happens because they got some money coming. What do people think is going to happen? I mean, this surplus of crops sitting in the bins still has to make its way to market.
And losing value every day.
Well, it is right now.
You know what I mean?
And it may start going up.
Yeah.
But when it does, then a bunch of guys are going to start dumping their bins, and then it's going to go back down. Like, we're just kicking this can down the road.
Also, you're talking there. I'm thinking, no, you're just being led through the nose to play a whole nother game. Buy a bin. Store it. Give your co-op or whoever your merchandiser is or however you want to say mm-hmm. that guy even more control over more crop.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I talked to a banker type of guy that's really plugged in up in northeast Nebraska, and he's kind of blunt, kind of fun. We'll have to get him on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
And he straight up said, you know, last year and the year before around here, these parts, you'd have been further ahead. Whatever it was, when you harvested corn or soybeans, whatever it was, go straight to the elevator,
mm-hmm.
unload it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that tried to store it and sell it later, sell their November corn during the summer, lost. They lost.
Yeah, hindsight.
So just, it is hindsight, but it kind of goes back to what you were talking about. Like, now you're sitting on a crop, and I feel like, well, now you're playing more of the game for them.
I mean, the whole economics, like the basic is supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a massive supply, and a lot of it's mm-hmm. hiding in bins.
Yep.
That the numbers that are being reported don't know about. I mean, they know about more than we think, but some mm-hmm. of it they don't know about. And when that stuff comes to market, I mean, again, like I said before, we're just kicking this can down the road. So we've got low prices right now. China's not buying, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then we give some aid. And then, you know, a little bit later, China decides, oh, we're going to buy some more. So then a bunch of people release from the bins. They put a surplus into the traders. Then the price comes back down. It's this freaking messed up game, dude. That's what I'm talking about from the beginning.
And like, I don't feel at liberty to really, because I feel like I'm lost in it. Like, but not just on the surface, like what you're saying, you're just kicking the can down the mm-hmm. road. And How is it getting any better?
It's like everything, or it's like so many other things.
You're creating that divide too between city folk and common folk, or what? Yeah, however right, you want right, to say right. that, yeah. you know.
And it's what's the word I'm looking for? It's
a Band-Aid?
It is, yeah, 100%. But it's making these farmers and these families a slave to this system. Like they don't really have much control of it. But then we go back to one of the things that we were talking about earlier. Are we overproducing? I mean, I guess it depends on who's actually going to be doing the buying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, are we overproducing for our own country? Probably.
Right.
But are we overproducing with the idea that, you know, if one thing goes wrong, mm-hmm. one buyer decides not to buy, we're screwed?
Yeah, you can't put all your eggs in a basket, especially against a rival. Like,
yeah.
You're just expecting China to play ball and play ball with you. And on the very front of it, their tariffs stop, you know, exports and imports while we're on the other side of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, why are we getting a raw deal? And I hate the rebuttal, and it's just like what you're talking about, dividing people. I hate it when I say, well, you voted for this, and I hated it 4 years ago. I hated it 8 years ago. Oh, well, congratulations, farmers, you voted for this. No, that's not – I'm not voting for bad prices. I'm not voting for bad markets, and I'm not going to say it's Biden's fault. Like, this is bigger than just these four-year – I don't want to call them puppets, but they're presidents.
Yeah.
It's a very short-term deal.
Right. No, I agree with you. It's I don't know. It's just a mess, man. So, like, for the people who are listening, who are just wondering, you know, why am I hearing about these farmer bailouts? What the heck's going on? Hopefully, that gives you some perspective on what's going on. Bottom line is, we've just finished harvest. If you live in, or if when you drive to work or when you drive home, if you see farm fields, rest assured, you're being affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing.
Right.
But anyway, your neighbors have just brought in all of this crop, and now they're trying to figure out what to do with it to pay for everything that they've been doing all year long, because they've built up a big debt note.
Yeah.
So now they're using this crop to pay that debt note down, and they're trying to figure out the best way to do that to maximize it. And China decided they're not buying a bunch. Mm-hmm. So now our farm families are like, oh shit, what we brought in is not going to be enough to pay our bills. And now Trump's saying, hey, we love our farmers.
Right.
We're going to give this aid program. You know, we want to make sure that they're okay, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
And I've said this before. Here's the other side of this, which sucks, but it is what it is. He said this money is coming from tariffs that have been collected.
Okay.
Where did the money come from to pay those tariffs? It's come from all of us.
Yeah, it's tax dollars.
Yeah, we're the ones that those suppliers that have had to pay the tariffs are passing those costs on to the people who are buying it in the end.
Yeah.
So it's essentially what we've done is we've sucked money out of the American public, moved it by way of tariffs up to the government, and then moved it from the government to the farmers and to whoever else because the prices are down.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. Good luck taking Economics 101 and trying to make sense of any of this. There's a very interesting, I still can't get my arms around it. It was an article talking about how, okay, India's in debt to China. China's in debt to Japan and Canada and the United States. Like, everybody's in debt to each other. Like, well, then who's winning? What is going on here?
Right.
How can China be bankrupt right now on paper, but we owe them all this money and they own farmland in China? Like, what the hell is going on?
Doesn't make any sense.
Right? You used a word there. You kind of snuck it in there, but it's been in the headlines quite a bit lately, especially with what ICE has cooking. You said the word slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You said farmers are a slave.
Yeah.
What's your definition of slavery?
My definition of slavery is, basically when you have to do something, to survive and you don't have a choice and there's someone that is in charge of basically your destiny.
Mm.
That's kind of a it's not a direct definition, but that's how I feel about the whole thing in general.
So would you say, and this is all theoretical, and I'm not tying it to any towns or any factories or plants or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say then, if an entity or a government was going to go to a war-torn country, round up a bunch of people, and then displace them over here and say, you're going to work 12 hours here and do this. You don't speak the language. You live, you know, in your little cubicle or apartment or whatever we place you in, and that is it. Like, mm-hmm. would that be a form of slavery? Like, you're being told what to do, how to do it, and you didn't really, like, what's your other option?
I think it would be, yeah, I think that would be a form of it. One other thing I would add to that definition that I was thinking of as you were saying that is that the person who is in charge of your destiny is one way or another profiting off of it.
Oh, big time.
Off of what?
Yeah.
Off of you.
So
in that particular scenario that you just explained, if those folks that have displaced these people are one way or another profiting off of mm-hmm. these actions that they're taking, then yeah, it sounds like slavery.
Sounds like a business is propping up a government. A government is going and getting these displaced people, whether it's a war-torn country or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think you were picking up on the parallel I'm mm-hmm. drawing out here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that happening, not only, you know, the big headlines are in Minnesota, but here in Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
like in Iowa. We talked about it at length a couple of times in Iowa with some plants that are shut down. And these big plants, thousands of people that work there, they're just gone, like out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are those people? Are those...
Yeah.
What are we?
What happened to them?
Yeah. You talk. You hit the nail on the head with farmers become slaves to this system. Mm-hmm. That's one way. And I just feel terrible for a lot of these people that certain companies or whatever you want to call it they just get shuffled around and paid an unfair wage, work this type of hours. Taking jobs from America. You took my job.
Yeah,
you know, like there's that angle of it too. Once again, a lot of this shit just creates division.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I feel there are just a small number of players that are in it for the long haul that have the backing of a government or this government or that government that really does just get away with modern day slavery.
Yeah.
Let's just get it out there. It is modern day slavery. What, unfortunately, it's going on in parts, I would say, of Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota. It's ugly.
Yeah, no, it is. You're right. Well, like I said, hopefully that gives you a little bit better kind of understanding or perspective. I mean, we obviously don't know all of it. It goes a whole lot more in depth, but $12 billion, it's a lot of money. I guess where I would leave it is my question is, like, is it actually going to happen? I mean, there's been so much talk about money flying around in this administration.
Donald J's a talker.
Parents were going to get like $4,000 for something per kid or whatever. I ain't seen any of that show up. Like, I mean, there's so many things that, you know, we're going to take care of the people we love. We love our parents.
I love our farmers. Love you uneducated.
maybe the money's coming. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe this is just a big, PR campaign, but I guess time will tell. I don't know.
Full disclaimer, I'm not at liberty and I don't know what slavery is and I don't know what a bad deal is and what a good tariff is. It's just what my reptilian brain comprehends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look at a headline and I dive into it and then you see the fallout, well, what's going on here?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you just, think of the line you went down when you're talking about how we're actually paying for these tariffs. You had that money changing like four hands before it got back to the tariff.
And they're like spinning it in a way that they're trying to make people like feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for, I mean, gosh, dang it.
Yeah. The overall impact, time will tell. I do think on the surface, it's obviously really tough for farmers, ranchers, producers, when you start limiting markets, but then it also makes me suspect of when figureheads of speaking for farmers and speaking for ranchers get out and bash these tariffs and say, like, no, we just want to go back to the bad deal where, you know, they get to charge for imports and we don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, no, that's how we got here in the first place, was the bad deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why are you campaigning for that? Like, these are just big, dumb, obvious questions that I have, and try and get a straight answer.
Yeah. For any of you listening who might be a farmer and you're not super familiar with this program, which I assume everyone probably is by now, but on the USDA website, they're calling it the FBA program, Farmer Bridge Assistance. And it's for row crop farmers of not just corn and soybeans. There's a whole list of things. Barley, chickpeas, cotton, lentils, oats, peanuts, peas, rice, sorghum, wheat, canola, so on and so forth. And it says that they're expecting payments to be released by February 28th of this coming year, and that eligible farmers should ensure their 2025 acreage reporting is factual and accurate by 5 p.m. on December 19th. So time is getting tight.
And did it have a projection there of the payouts? Because I saw a thing yesterday where it was like something crazy, like 98% was going to row crops, and then the 2%.
Yeah, no, it doesn't say that. But
it was like less than $1 billion was going to everything else, and $11 billion was going to soybeans and corn.
I would believe that. There was one point where they say there $11 billion is going to these row crops, but yeah. $1 billion. Is reserved for commodities not covered under this program, such as specialty crops and sugars. So, you know, I don't know. They're throwing a lot of money around.
When you were reading that, and I fell victim to it, didn't even realize it. You used the word bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I used that when we were talking earlier.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was because I watched three or four news segments, you could call it, from CBS, from CNN, from NBC, from Fox News. You know, I try to see them all. They all have this script and say the same thing.
Yeah. And it's funny. I mean, if you think about the psychology of that.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's just a bridge.
Well, it's been said before that that a lot of these news outlets get the same
press release.
Right, yeah. And they have to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you, regular dude, here in three or four different news reports saying the exact same thing. It gets imprinted in your brain, and then you just spew it without even thinking about it.
I did. I told you that. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's just a bridge.
Yeah.
I used that word.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't even realize it.
Yeah, so their PSYOP totally works.
I can be PSYOPed. I already told you. I got like a reptilian brain. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, we've got a little bit more time, and there was one other thing we wanted to talk about in regards to farming and agriculture that's fresh in the last couple of days. So for you folks who may have some interest in equipment and engines, there's been a long battle in agriculture. Also, this is spilling over to like the trucking industry with diesel engines and diesel engine emissions.
Mm.
So, you know, back when the whole, climate is warming, global warming, whole thing started with whoever that was. Was that Al Gore?
Al Gore, an inconvenient truth.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They decided that, we need to start choking out these diesel engines. Like, these diesel engines are ruining our planet.
Very bad.
Yeah. So they came up with a way to make a bunch of money and add, for one thing, extra tanks to all these pieces of machinery and trucks that hold some fluid that is composed of urea, which in many cases is cattle piss, and water that the system then injects into the exhaust pipe as the engine is running, creates a chemical reaction, and therefore the emissions coming out of that tailpipe are lowered emissions.
That's
because
fantastic.
Of this chemical reaction,
that's
right?
Awesome.
So what we found was that one, it was costing guys a lot. Okay. This stuff's running like right now, this stuff's running like, I don't know what it is, $4, $5, $6 a gallon. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's cow piss and water. But you have to buy it.
Sure.
So they programmed into these machines that if the tank gets low or gets empty, it shuts the thing down.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to run this. You get this additional cost. also you have all these additional components that tend to go bad sooner than anything else.
Right. The electronics part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the mechanics of it as well. The injectors, this stuff is extremely caustic. It's like acidic. It tears stuff up. Mm.
Yeah. Piss is acidic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just one of the emissions things that was put on these diesel engines. There's also some other ones that were even more extensive, but farmers and over-the-road truckers have been hollering from the mountains for years that this stuff needs to go away. It's choking them out. It's limiting the use of their machines. It's causing their machines to cost more money. And then on top of that, it's requiring, I say requiring because they don't have a choice, but there's a whole other story how the dealers or manufacturers are involved in this, but requiring them to pay somebody to work on these things because they can't work on them themselves,
mm-hmm.
Which is the whole right to repair thing that we've talked about before. But all that being said, that's been going on for years. This started in 2007, 2008 range.
Mm.
So we're 20 years later. This week, Trump comes out, and we just talked earlier that he talks a lot. He says that he's recognized this is a huge problem, and he's rolling back all of the emission standards on agricultural equipment.
And I think he said something like a direct quote, this is close, we're taking all that crap off the machinery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's speaking the language of a lot of farmers and diesel guys. That's what they speak.
Right. Just a quick online, it says the Trump administration is actively working to roll back environmental rules that impact the agricultural sector, particularly those related to farm equipment emissions and general climate programs. The administration has not entirely ended all agricultural emissions regulations yet, as many proposed changes are ongoing or subject to legal challenges. If you're in the diesel world, there's been talk about this since Trump got reelected.
You got to be celebrating that, right? You being a motor guy?
The thing is that I think it's all bullshit.
Oh,
yeah,
how's that?
I don't think it's going to happen.
You love adding piss to your exhaust.
I think it's just talk. I think it's just talk.
Okay.
I don't think I think this is too big of a beast. I think there's too many powers that be that are.
How did that get pushed through? How did anyone sign up for that or want to?
Well, they didn't have a choice, so they created this Clean Air Act. You know, Congress did.
Sounds like you're making farmers into slaves again, not giving them a choice.
Yeah,
taking their
choice.
Money.
Yep. Sorry, you got to pay this.
And
yep.
You were talking on it there, and I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
It's one thing when you just, okay, that's going to be another $2 per acre. You know, when you're speaking in farmer's terms, that's going to cost me another $2. This is a whole nother beast where not only is it X amount of dollars more per acre on the surface, now I'm dealing with more breakdowns.
Right.
Now I'm dealing with this different electronics that my dealer is getting fed and a little alarm's going off saying, hey, that tractor's low. He's breaking the rules. Shut it down. Shut his tractor down. Mm-hmm. You're giving them control over your equipment. There are so many other things that are going into this that's beyond just X amount of dollars per acre.
Right.
But they're getting that too.
Yeah.
They're getting that too. So that's extremely frustrating. And even if it is talk, I like that the talk's at least happening.
No, it's a first for the industry. People who are in the industry are super pumped right now because, like you said, no one has even really been willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I mean, as far as diesel emissions goes, there's been guys in the industry who have built big businesses off of removing these emissions, and it's highly illegal. And these guys have been prosecuted. They've been put in jail. They've been fined millions of dollars. I mean, there's so much going on. Trump actually just pardoned, I think last month or the month before, this older gentleman. I think the dude was in like his 60s or 70s, who owned a shop that was deleting semi-trucks. Deleting means taking the emissions off. That's kind of the slang term for it. And so, you know, prior to Trump, he got prosecuted. He got put in jail. Trump just pardoned him. So he's not. I'm not saying he's messing around. I mean, he is doing things, but it's just so much. It's like, man, anybody can come out and say diesel emissions suck. We need to do something about it.
Right.
Anybody can come out and say that. What are we going to actually do? I mean, I do hope that we're going to do something about it. I'm obviously all for clean air. Right. I have kids. I have potentially grandkids. I want them to be safe and healthy and all these kinds of things.
Sure.
I just don't want a bunch of dumb shit that's mainly created so somebody can make a profit.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, I'll go back to, at least he's saying it, and at least there has been some actions, and he's pushing people in that direction, at least shedding light on it.
Definitely, like, creating conversations.
Yeah, creating a conversation, and like you said, pardoning the one guy. We need more people like that. If the majority of people were like, I'm deleting this, I'm deleting that, as you said, then the government couldn't do anything. Are you going to delete us all?
Right, right.
Yeah. You can't get this tariff payback system to work if my trucks aren't moving, if we're all in jail. Right?
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, and sometimes that's all it takes is just Donald Trump being bombastic, being crazy, and not necessarily Donald Trump, but whoever can get the word out. That's why marketing is so, I think it's the most important thing to any business. Get the word out.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, forget about your product. That's so secondary. It's crazy to say that, but it is. Mm-hmm. If I was just in a meeting with a new show that we're launching, and they're talking about, well, how much are we going to devote to this or that? I'm like, we need to devote it all to entertainment and making people click on it. Because if no one clicks on it, forget your freaking product, or forget the stream that you want people to follow, go from here to there. We got to get them to click on it first.
Yeah.
So it's just, my marketing brain always goes down that,
you're right.
that path.
No, I mean, that's a good point.
I really appreciate this loudmouth that we have. And he does do a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think he obviously says things that he can't quite back up that are out of his control. And we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, we got a bunch of YouTubers here that are going to spill the beans for us. Yeah, no. I mean, and there's only so much of that. And that's, I think, why you feel a little jaded right now. You know, like, it sounds good, looks good.
I mean, you know, I just look at I look at all the moving pieces. So, like, the manufacturers, as an example. Let's take John Deere. You know, I mean, that's, everyone knows who John Deere is, and this is the one that always comes up in these conversations.
They make tractors, right?
Yeah, okay. Green ones.
Okay.
So these guys, you know, if something like this actually happens, okay, these guys have manufacturing facilities that are tooled up for machines being made the way they're being made right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if all this changes, you know, they're going to have to change their tooling and whatever else. I don't know how extensive that is for them, but I imagine probably pretty. So what are these guys thinking? Like, if I'm them, I'm thinking to myself, okay, we got this guy for a couple more years. Is he going to be able to get this done in a couple of years? Probably not. Maybe not. But I think a good gamble is to sit back, wait, see what happens.
Don't mess with our line processing.
Yep. Keep making the stuff that we're making it, how we're making it right now. And there's a good chance that this just kind of goes away. And then we didn't cost us anything. As opposed to, yes, Mr. President, we hear you. We're changing our tractors right now. We go ahead and do it. Then in 2 years, he's out and someone else gets elected and says, nope, those things are going back on the machines. And then we got a tool back and now we've lost everything that we made.
Right. Yeah. We just got that taken out of the line production. It took us X amount of months, millions and millions of dollars, and now we got to add it back in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of dominoes started falling in the wrong direction, I feel, and we brought up John Deere. When they moved their headquarters out of Iowa into somewhere else, that was like the writing on the wall. And no matter who, let's take John Deere out of it, no matter what tractor mechanic you talk to, even if it works for the outfit or not, none of them are saying, oh, I love this emission stuff. I love the extra tank. I love these sensors.
Right,
no, they all agree with you saying this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
This is all bullshit.
Yeah.
Is there even any studies that mixing cow piss with...
I guess there is, yeah.
Like, it just sounds like such a crazy thing.
Yeah, it does sound crazy.
What if we just let the cows piss it out? And like, we just didn't...
Well, cows are the enemy, man. Like, we can't have...
I forgot.
We can't have cows.
You're right. And not Benton. What's the guy over in Israel? We talked about him, too. Benjamin? Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah.
He changed his name a couple of times. But anyway, it's Netanyahu now. They have a new meat press, 3D printing meat. And his plans is to go ahead and save on cow emissions and cow farts and burps. And just use our machine. He even said, every McDonald's in America get to use our machine. You imagine that? No, I can't. And I don't want to.
Right.
So
what, and how does it work? Like if we're going to, we're gonna eliminate cows because they're wrecking the environment.
Yeah.
But we need their piss because that saves the environment.
God damn it. That's tough. Yeah.
So then we can, we won't be able to have diesel emissions and then that's going to wreck the environment.
I'll tell you what. What if we sell them my piss? I will piss all day in a bucket.
I think you're on
something. For our government.
I think you're on to something. Think you're on to something.
Right? I don't know.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Wild world.
But yeah, if you if we haven't lost you by now, if you're not into the equipment, agricultural equipment scene, that kind of gives you a little bit of perspective on that. You know, you see these big, especially this time of year, you see these big tractors and combines running down the road, and they're expensive and they're big and they're pretty, and you just think, man, that look at that thing and how much money those guys have in that thing, and realizing stuff like this, how you know, strangle-held a lot of our farmers are, you know, even with something that looks that magnificent.
That is that classic case, and it's what one of my all-time favorite movies, I'm going to take you down a little journey, Fight Club, really talks about.
Mm-hmm.
That goddamn combine owns you.
Yeah.
You don't own it.
Yeah.
They got you so many ways this Sunday. Just the emissions thing is just
one of them, yep.
One part mm-hmm. of it. Just one part of it.
Yep. 100%. 100%. And that's by design, right?
Very much so. I mean, so when you brought up the word slavery, I'm like, oh, yeah. There he is. Yeah. There it is. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully the Trump administration can get something done and help to improve some of this stuff, but hopefully it's something long-lasting.
At least he's saying something. Yeah. At least, you know, there's steps to all these things, and it takes time. Remember Kyle Lichtenberg?
Mm-hmm.
He's a big proponent. Like you, nothing gets done in 4 years, two years, whatever. It takes so much time and effort. So, but in order for anything to happen, that conversation has to start.
Yeah, for sure. You're right. Well, I think that's enough. That's enough for today. Let's end this with a little bit of talk about Barn Owl, barnowl.tech. If you go check out that website, cameras, standalone cameras, so you can monitor your property, you can monitor your herd, you can monitor traffic in and out, you can use it as game cams, cellular connected. Again, you know, we just came out of the woods last month. You know, we're using this camera extensively down there to watch the deer. I'm sitting about, I think when I shot it, about like 72 yards from the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The camera is taking pictures and sending them to my phone, but my phone, I can't even get my phone to connect. So I'm not getting any of the pictures until I get up out of the woods, but the camera's connected. It's sending them.
Right.
So something that these guys are doing with their cellular connectivity works way better than cell phones for some reason.
Yeah.
So you can use these cameras just about anywhere. Obviously they're battery powered, but you can get solar panels, which we have. Just keeps the batteries going forever is what it seems like. But lots of cool technology. They got an app out now. There's another new camera they've got out that we're going to be opening and showing.
And the app is beefed up. It's like a second gen, third gen.
It's a legit app now. Yeah. It works really well. I have notifications set up on it. So if the camera takes a picture, it says, hey, you know, it took this picture, and it has like AI technology where it tries to decide what it's taking a picture of.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll tell you like an animal was detected, a vehicle was detected, a person was detected, and then you can click on it and go look at it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. But barnowl.tech, check them out. If you use code FARMFOCUSED, FOCUSED, you'll get another 10% off the website.
Did you go back on that app and see the picture of Morgan flipping you off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I
just thought of that.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
She loves going to work.
Yeah. This is the perfect time to order these as well. When you're listening to this, I think if you order right now, you probably still have time to get it for Christmas. It's a great gift.
Yep.
So anyway, anything perfect. Else, man?
No, that got kind of deep and dark there, and it's the holiday season, but there's just so much swirling around. I love your perspective on that. It's not all going to happen right now. It takes time.
Yeah. And specifically in agriculture, which again, like I said, when you drive to work, if you drive home, if you see a farm field, do not mistake this is having an effect on you.
And the message, if I could get one thing out there, is resist that thought process of, well, you voted for this or it's your fault or it's mm-hmm. China's fault. No. It is what it is, as you say, right now.
Yeah.
Now let's all come together and kind of figure this thing out or put our best foot forward, because that's really, if we want things to get better, we are just going to have to work together.
Yep, for sure. All right. Well, nothing else?
No.
All right, I'm going to shut it down.
Later.
See you.